We've gone quarter past 11. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban. Welcome to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It is Monday morning. My name is Junaid Jassat. We are taking a look at an African country this morning. As we know, Monday mornings we learn for different African countries. Today we are going down on our list in alphabetical order. So we are now at Côte d'Ivoire, or Ivory Coast, as it was known previously. Well, it was hailed as a model of stability during the first decade of the 21st century, but Ivory Coast slipped into the kind of internal strife that has plagued so many African countries. But where about is Côte d'Ivoire? That is what we need to learn about. In fact, where about do you find Côte d'Ivoire? It's a country in West Africa. It is a southerly facing country, faces south. It's bordered by Ghana to the east, Liberia to the west, Guinea to the northwest, and Mali to the north, and Burkina Faso to the northeast. So it is quite a few borders that it's sharing with other countries. And then to the south, it is facing the North Atlantic Ocean. Now, they had close ties to France since independence in 1960. The development of cocoa production for export and foreign investment also made Côte d'Ivoire one of the most prosperous of the tropical African states, but obviously did not protect it from political turmoil. In December 1999, a military coup, first ever in the history of the country, overthrew the government. Junta leader Robert Gouy blatantly rigged elections held in late 1999 and declared himself the winner. Popular protest forced him to step aside and brought runner-up Laurent Gbagbo in deliberation. Ivorian dissidents and disaffected members of the military launched a failed coup attempt in September 2002. Rebel forces claimed the northern half of the country. In January 2003, they were granted ministerial positions in a unity government under the auspices of the Linas Makusis Peace Accord. President Gbagbo and rebel forces resumed implementation. Of the peace accord in December 2003 after a 3-month stalemate, but issues that sparked the civil war, such as land reform and grounds for citizenship, remain unresolved. So they've been through political turmoil. Then the presidential elections were finally held in 2010. First round was peaceful, and then in December 2010, the Electoral Commission declared that Ouattara had won the election by a margin of 54% to 46%. Gbagbo rejected it, and then he announced the country's borders are sealed. The presidential elections led to the 2010-2011 crisis and the second civil war. April 2011, pro-Ouattara forces penetrated Abidjan. The street-level combat, and now they are in that situation currently. Well, then you look at the climate of Côte d'Ivoire. It's tropical along the coast and semi-arid in the far north. There's three seasons, it's warm and dry. Then you have this November to March, and hot and dry March to May, and hot and wet, that's June to October. So it's quite a warm country. It's heavy surf and no natural harbors. During the rainy season, there's torrential flooding that is possible. If you look at the terrain of Côte d'Ivoire, it's mostly flat to undulating plains, mountains in the northwest. Most of the inhabitants live along the sandy coastal region apart from the capital area. The forested interior is sparsely populated. The highest point is Mont Nimba. It's 1752 meters. Look at the cities of Côte d'Ivoire. You have Abidjan, which remains the administrative center, and other countries maintain the embassies there. Then you have Korogo, that's rebel headquarters. Otherwise, idyllic bursts with commerce during February to May because of flowing cotton and cashew trade. Then you have Oboiso, the important milestone on the route connecting Abidjan and Ghana trade route. Then you have Bouake, the second largest city. Then you have Dabo, you have San Pedro, the second port city. Then you have Yamoussoukro. Although it has been the official capital since 1983, it's not the administrative center. Then you have Grand Bassam, it's a coastal town full of colonial charm. And then you look at Ivory Coast, and there's a few interesting things about Ivory Coast. There's two different pronunciations of the country used in popular literature. The English version is Ivory Coast. The French version is Côte d'Ivoire, which is the translation. It was only in 1985 the country's official name was changed from English to the current French version now used internationally. Then Abidjan is not only the largest city in the country, but also serves as the cultural hub of West Africa. The city has the third largest population of French-speaking individuals anywhere in the world. Look at the currency, the West African franc, is the official currency of the state. It is further divided into 100 centimes. Beside Ivory Coast, West African franc is also used officially by seven other neighboring nations. We have Benin, Burkina Faso, Guinea-Bissau, Mali, Niger, Senegal, and Togo, all using West African franc. And then in industry, agriculture is the mainstay of the economy. Nearly 75% of the entire population depends on income from farming. Fishing and forestry are other prominent economic sectors there in the country. Religion, Islam is the dominant religion in the country, comprising mainly of Sunni Muslims, although the Roman Catholic Church also has significant influence in religious affairs. There are also a number of small indigenous groups there. And in the ecosystem department, the land area contains three primary ecosystems. In the south, a large coastal strip borders the Gulf of Guinea. The central territory is mostly occupied by forests, and the north consists of large open areas of savanna conducive to farming. And unlike traditional accounts of African countries, the Ivory Coast economy is the most advanced in sub-Saharan Africa and one of the most developed economies in Africa as a whole. The country is also the largest exporters of cocoa and one of the largest producers of coffee beans. So coffee and chocolate, they are one of the largest producers in the world. So it's, well, I think something, a country that we will really enjoy, because coffee and chocolate is one of the weak points, or one of the delicacies that South Africans enjoy. The land of beauty, the country sent their first contestant to the Miss Universe pageant. Okay, so they was they consider themselves quite good looking in terms of climate throughout the year. Ivory Coast experiences three different climates. Weather is tropical along the coast and semi-arid in the north. The climate mostly remains warm or dry, but is generally hot and wet from June to October. And it's a food hub as well. The only prominent food market in West Africa is located in the capital, Abidjan. Traders from all around the West African coast congregate in the market, selling local and exported food from nearby countries. Then, considering education, there's a low literacy rate. Ivory Coast is perhaps the only country in Africa with a large presence of highly educated teachers in schools inducted directly from very high-level government ministries and other prime labor pool. It's a land of immigrants. There's a large outside non-Ivorian population in the country. It's estimated that nearly 40,000 French and other Europeans reside in the country due to the business links. Immigrants from Burkina Faso, Mali, and all other neighboring regions form a large part of the population as well. Accordingly, latest counts indicate the presence of 100,000 strong Lebanese community. There's diverse ethnic groups there, and the country is culturally diverse. You have the Akan, which constitute almost 42% of the entire population. The other four groups represent approximately 54% of the country. And so, those are a few interesting facts about Ivory Coast and about the history of Ivory Coast. We know the famous Didier Drogba, the soccer player, comes from Ivory Coast. Chelsea supporters will know about that. And then you have Ivory Coast having a very strong footballing nation as well. Now listen to this news story that's making news. I read it yesterday on News 24, and today I see it on other major news as well. Swarming child thieves called microbes frighten Ivory Coast city. There was a taxi driver who finished his shift and was walking home around midnight. His name was Mamadou Bamba, and a dozen children attacked him on the street and demanded his money. He hesitated, so they pulled out small knives and stabbed him 8 times, and they stole his fare, his fares that he collected, totaling more than $100. And so he's a victim of the microbes. The roving band of kids, Sangas 12, whose violent robberies the past few weeks have raised alarm over crime in working class neighborhoods of Abidjan. It's not a new phenomenon. The microbes is a French word for germs, and they are spreading to other parts of the town where residents have complained that government has failed to keep them safe. And the president, his government has described the microbes as children traumatized by Ivory Coast's post-election crisis of 2010-2011, which claimed more than 3,000 lives after ex-president Laurent Gbagbo refused to accept defeat. Interior Minister Hamid Bakayoko has pointed to treatment centers established to get them off the streets. And the phenomenon has expanded because nobody is listening to the cries of the distress of the suffering population. And you know, there's a problem. A separate incident earlier this month, there was a lady called Larissa Claude Ebony, a 23-year-old student, was waiting for a bus before dawn on August 12th, and she was stabbed to death in an attack. Neighbors quickly blamed on the microbes, though nobody witnessed it, actually. And then there was there was a video circulating on social media where people were chasing suspected microbes. And there's a problem. Can you see the issue that is raising its head now, where these young children are being manipulated into committing crimes by these people? And it's become a real problem, real issue for the population there. Well, it's just gone now 27 minutes after 11. You're listening to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this break.
Mom, I'm hungry.
The food is not done yet, my love. But I have a killer fragrant rice in the meantime.
Wow, Mom, this rice is so soft, fluffy, and smells lovely.
Yes, my child. This is the purest fragrant rice that you'll ever find and will certainly satisfy any hungry belly.
Thank you, Mommy, for buying a killer fragrant rice.
For more info on Akila Fragrant Rice, call Flavor Foods on 011-493-2397.
Santac, Radio Islam satellite signal provider, has once again changed our decoder settings. We have in place a dual frequency connection period, which means that both the old and new settings will work until the 31st of August 2015. As of the 1st of September 2015, your decoder will only work with the new settings. Under the circumstances, retuning may be done by the following. Oneself, using the DIY instructions on our website, www.radioislam.org.za. Bring your decoder in for retuning at Radio Islam's offices from Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. in Lanasia, 35 Cuckoo Avenue. Phone our call center during office hours, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on 011-854-7022. And receive instructions on how to retune your decoder. If you are tuning your decoder on your own, you will require a TV monitor. Our technical team will be visiting different areas throughout South Africa. In the Gauteng province, our team will be in Brits on Monday the 24th of August, 35 Scutter Street. Contact number 082-375-9375. In Lodium on Tuesday the 25th of August, 359 Mink Street. Contact number 071-878-9748. Technicians for the Gauteng region: Ibrahim Shah 079-138-4961. Molana Ibrahim Pirali 074-034-7860. Abdul Haq Panchbhai 074-786-7860. Safwan Khan 061-257-5789. Please bring along your remote for retuning.
A world-renowned Nasheed reciter, Qari Ihsan Mohsin Qasmi of India,
will grace the shores of South Africa as a special guest of Madrasa Ziaul Badr for a month-long tour in August, inshallah. Madrasa Ziaul Badr, in conjunction with Spiritual Cause, will be hosting an array of fundraising dinners and masajid programs across South Africa. For further information, call Kari Musa Sidat on
When the sun rises, it rises for everyone. Join Molana Junaid Jassat on Al Mashrif, Monday to Thursday between 11 and 12 p.m. live out of Ermelo, Mpumalanga, the place where the sun rises. Regular contributions by Molana Yahya Bam, Molana Ahmed Chohan, and Idris Khamisa.
Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It's just gone 28 minutes to 12. We are looking at parenting. When we speak about parenting, there are so many different aspects and so much of different advice that we are receiving on a daily basis that it sometimes can become overwhelming for a parent, especially a new parent, to deal with the issues of parenting and to be able to manage their children who at the same time don't seem to be responding at all to the different methods and different acts or different things that they are implementing. Now, don't give up. That is the important note that we need to share with you this morning, is that don't give up as a parent, maybe a young mother or a father, and you are seeing your children, you are seeing them growing up, but they're not growing up according to what you envisioned, according to what you imagined, according to what you hoped for, and now you're looking at them and you're thinking that, hey, what is going to happen with my kids? What is going to become of my children? Now, the reality is that while you may be thinking that your children are not registering anything that you are teaching them or bringing them up with, and they are not understanding, they are just refusing to practice, they are just refusing to change, they are just refusing to improve, and they are just refusing to do anything basically with their lives, you think that, hey, you know, my kids are really the only thing I put them now is that they want to make my life a living misery. But you must understand that whatever you are saying to them is being registered in their subconscious. And the time will come when it is going to show itself. It's going to, you're going to realize that your children, no, they are registering what you are saying, and they are changing their ways, or they are basically practicing on what you have taught them as well. And so that is so encouraging for you as a parent. It is so welcoming for you to understand that, you know, my kids are changing, they are making a difference, and what I've taught them, what I've brought them up with, is improving them as individuals. And so that is the great welcoming or promising part that you see in your children. So don't give up. That is the message for today. As a parent, don't give up and don't feel like all is lost. You are doing well. Now, the topic I'd like to discuss today is dealing with an angry child. dealing with an angry child. Anger is an emotion. We all experience anger in our lives. We have to go through an angry spell, or we have to feel anger in some way or the other. And it's quite alarming for you to see your child in the throes of rage. It is really alarming, and you could also become angry because of their anger. The first thing that you have to consider is that it's normal. It's acceptable for children to feel angry from time to time. But now, if that anger is going to continue, and if that anger is going to endure, if the anger is going to affect others, now you've got something to worry about. You've got something to concern yourself about. Now, what is it, and how do we deal with it? First, we need to understand what is anger, why the child is experiencing or feeling the anger. It relates to a child who is feeling misunderstood, maybe sometimes even falsely accused, maybe unfairly treated, maybe insecure. And it's very common for the child to display anger because they are actually concealing other feelings that are more vulnerable. And these outbursts that they have actually are a reflection of more than just what has happened in the immediate situation. They may get angry with one of their siblings who's playing with something or making a sound or something like that, but the reality is they're not actually angry about that. That anger is actually a reflection of something more than just what happened. You look at the analogy of a volcano. It captures the way in which difficult feelings can build up inside over time. And the volcano is not just the bursting point at the tip of the volcano, but it is a long process of lava building up, pressure accumulating to the point that there's a small weakness, or in this case of a child, a minor annoyance that can easily trigger your child to erupt and blow their top. And so the child blows his top, or she blows her top, and she becomes angry and mad and starts using abusive language and the like thereof. Now, what do you do, and how do you control that? How do you avoid that you also become angry, you also get wild, and it's just basically then an exchange of expletives and the rest. We don't want that to happen. Now, the basic principle, the first thing, the first step is to increase emotional awareness. As a mother or father, increase emotional awareness. What's that all about? The basic principle is that the more you encourage your child to express difficult feelings, the less emotions will build up and overflow into angry explosions. So what you want to do is you want your child to be able to explain themselves. What are they feeling right now? Are they happy? Are they sad? What are they feeling? They need to be able to express that emotion. The child needs to first be aware of their own feelings. It can happen also that the child is not even aware of what they are feeling. And you as a parent can improve your child's emotional literacy. You know about literacy in terms of reading, but here we're speaking about emotional literacy. So you increase the amount you talk about anger and other feelings to your child. So that's the first thing. Speak to your child about anger, even if it's not a time of anger, or it's just a normal time that you're with your child. Speak to your child about anger, speak to your child about sadness, about happiness, about other emotions and feelings. As frequently as possible, you need to try to refer to your own and to other people's feelings and guess and at and reflect back and question your own child's feelings. For example, you see a picture. And it's a billboard of a man who's stuck with a... Well, you see a man at the side of the road. His bonnet is open. A car is on the side of the road. There's steam coming out. And you will say, what do you think that man is feeling? Is he happy right now? Is he sad right now? That's it. So, and then the child will realize, you know, that this man is feeling angry. He's feeling, upset that he's stuck right now. Or, for example, if the child bursts out and say, "You stupid!" speaking about one of the siblings, you need to question that you are angry. Why are you angry? Are you angry because she interrupted our time together? What are you angry about? So we need to identify why that anger is taking place, why that outburst. Then the second thing is to remain calm. It's so important for a parent to remain calm when the child is angry. This is an important point that you need to listen to right now. Your child is like a barometer for the emotional climate around them. Your child is a barometer. What does a barometer do? What does a thermometer do? It tells you the temperature in that environment that the thermometer is in. I found something very interesting in Johannesburg. There's a huge thermometer on the M1. And people, while they're driving, they can see the temperature. Then you go a little further. There's a signboard telling you the dollar price. Then you drive in Centen, and you can find the stock prices on a billboard. And there's everything. All the information you require as you are driving. There's no need to even refer open to the newspaper anymore. Everything is in the billboards. So, well, children are like barometers. So a thermometer tells you the temperature around you. A barometer tells you the air pressure around you. And so children are barometers for the emotional climate around them. So we can call them emo meters. That's a kid, an emo meter. Well, if you are stressed, that child is also going to be stressed. If you are relaxed, that child is also going to be relaxed. That is how a child displays behavior. They reflect what you are feeling. So, as a parent, you need to schedule in some relaxing time on a regular basis. If it's difficult to get time alone, get together with other parents and set up a babysitting routine. And if you can get to recuperate and relax once in a while, it's much easier for you to respond calmly to your child's meltdowns. And if you provide a calm response, that's going to help your child to deal and contain the anger while if you respond angrily to your child's anger, that's going to make the child even more enraged. So you need to have calm responses to your child's anger, and that's going to resolve the situation. If you're going to respond angrily, it's going to make the situation worse. The way you manage your own angry feelings will impact on how your little one deals with his or her angry feelings. And if your child hears you swearing at the driver that just cut you on the highway, then don't be surprised if you hear your child hurling insults when his sister has grabbed his favorite toy, because they're just going to reflect what you do. If you are wound up, don't forget that you have to have a time out as well. Relax, make sure your child is safe, but you remove yourself from the situation, breathe deeply, tell yourself, keep calm, relax, don't lose your temper, don't lose your cool, stay calm. That's an important thing for you as a parent as well. Stay calm and you will overcome the problem and you will be able to deal with it, inshallah al-Aziz. Well, we just gone 16 minutes to 12. We're going to take a little break and inshallah al-Aziz will come back with two more issues related to managing an angry child. Accept feelings and redirect angry actions, and use clear and consistent consequences to limit aggressive behavior. Stay tuned to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International.
Yo ya no quiero, gracias.
Yo gustaba hacer por mí, ella aquí es un buen jugador.
Está bien, me rindo.
No matter where you come from or what language you speak, Beres Motor Spares is the place to go. We stock motor spares and car accessories of high standards at an impressive price. Years of experience in the motor spares industry ensures that you get the best advice. Beres Motor Spares, 48 Peter 8th Avenue, Alberton North.
Call us on 011-901-3100. Attention all traders, supermarkets and spazas. Visit Devlin Cash & Carry for all your deep cut specials on all listed groceries. Distributors of the widest range of household detergents and perishable goods. Open 7 days a week. Devlin Cash & Carry. Call 011-989-8800. Corner Klepkas and Person Road, Devlin.
Santac, Radio Islam satellite signal provider, has once again changed our decoder settings. We have in place a dual frequency connection period, which means that both the old and new settings will work until the 31st of August 2015. As of the 1st of September 2015, your decoder will only work with the new settings. Under the circumstances, retuning may be done by the following. Oneself, using the DIY instructions on our website, www.radioislam.org.za. Bring your decoder in for retuning at Radio Islam's offices from Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. in Lanasia, 35 Cuckoo Avenue. Phone our call center during office hours, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on 011-854-7022 and receive instructions on how to retune your decoder. If you are tuning your decoder on your own, you will require a TV monitor. Our technical team will be visiting different areas throughout South Africa. Schedule for the KwaZulu-Natal province is as follows. In Reservoir Hills on the 22nd of August at the Reservoir Hills Masjid. Contact 031-262-5901. In Escort on the 24th of August, 8 Wagon Road. Contact 083-578-6134. The technicians for the KZN region, Kasim Variaba, 076-934-3138. Or Ismail Henry, 073-372-0646. Please bring along your remote for retuning.
When the sun rises, it rises for everyone. Join Molana Junaid Jassat on Al Mashrif, Monday to Thursday between 11 and 12 p.m. Live out of Ermelo, Mpumalanga, the place where the sun rises. Regular contributions by Molana Yahya Bam, Molana Ahmed Chohan, and Idris Khamisa.
Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. We spoke about two things. When a child becomes angry, increase emotional awareness. Your child needs to know how to deal with emotions, or needs to know what emotions are. Second thing is, as a parent, you need to stay calm. Third thing is that accept feelings and redirect angry actions. Now, you can deal with your child's feelings by saying, "Don't worry, it's not a big deal, calm down." This is going to be counterproductive. Your child is going to be simmering with anger, and that is because of the original frustration and also because of not being understood. Now the secret is to, one, accept and acknowledge your child's angry feelings. Yeah, I understand that you are angry. Second is that direct them to an appropriate outlet. So if you accept their feelings, your child is going to feel understood. They don't have to convince you of their standpoint, and they are then calmer. And then when the feelings are expressed, the build of emotion inside is avoided, and so explosions become less likely because they have been understood now. And if your child is angry, so say something like, "Hey, Muhammad, hey, Yusuf, that really made you upset, or you're disappointed, so you're understanding what your child's wishes are." And then you need to show understanding by guessing your child's wishes. You would like it if your brother asked before borrowing your stuff, or you would like to stay longer, or something like that. And then you need to encourage appropriate expression and show me how you're feeling. Draw a picture, you know, punch into a cushion or tear up this piece of paper. Or you can ask that, "What would be a better way to solve? How do we resolve this issue? How do we resolve this problem?" And you can resolve the issue in that way. And use clear and consistent consequences to limit aggressive behavior. Your child needs to understand also that anger is okay, but aggressive behavior is not okay. So you need to get down to your child's level, to use a calm, low tone, but firm tone, and tell the child that he has done wrong. Try not to shout, but say that it's not okay to hit your brother, it's not okay to do this, not okay to do that. You can't throw things around, it's not acceptable. And if your child stops behaving aggressively, you need to praise them, make them understand that it's good the way they've behaved. But if they are going to continue, then there has to be a clear consequence, naughty step or withdrawing privileges or something like that. But if you are worried about your child's growing anger and escalating nature, nothing is working, months or weeks or months have passed, then there may be some underlying issues that then require professional help. And so you need to make it, make an appointment with a professional and ask somebody to assist you to be able to deal with that anger. Well, that is basically the discussion on child anger. We make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all children who are flag bearers of iman, and children who are beneficial to us, children who will be there to see to our needs, children who are going to be there to be the coolness of our eyes. That's the important thing that we want out of our children. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Shukran for listening to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Shukran to my studio operator this morning, Brother Tufail, from Junaid Jasad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.